Now I pray, Holy Spirit of God, I yield to thee as near as I know how. And I pray the studying has been worthy for you to bless what's to be said today about our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, this message I have worked on a few weeks, but what really enhanced my heart today, when I was getting ready this morning, I listened to Jack Van Ampe. And I did that because when I heard what he was saying, it caught my attention, and it should catch your attention if you hear it, because this is something new that's coming out now from the Muslim religion. They're saying, and I don't know exactly what the article he had, but I did see the article that he was reading it. They have written now some of the leaders that they agree that they believe in Jesus Christ. But to define that is this. They're saying now, according to what he said from the article that's been written, that they're looking for Christ to come back, but he's going to come back as a prophet of Allah. And since he's coming back, he will deny everything that's been written in this book, because he is going to be the one who sets up Islam here for Allah as a prophet. Their main leaders in Iran, I understand, are the ones who are, there have been a book written, articles written about this, and said that the world will have to be converted to Muslim religion, Islam religion. If not, then Christians, Jews, and the rest of the world will be put to death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's not my Savior. That's an Antichrist. John tells me, 1 John, what that is. Antichrist. If you run across the article, I know that's the quotes of it. If you heard this morning, if you run across the article, I'd like to have it. I'll try to get it later, but I know that's the crux of what was being said, and I think the Lord let it catch my eye, because my message is found 1 Peter today, chapter 1. And I want to speak to you the Christ of the cross. Now, the reason for that is today, because if there's a lot of things that people said about Jesus now that they accept him, but it's not biblical truth. When I talk about the Christ of the cross, I'm not talking about the Christ on the cross, because he's not on there. I'm talking about the Christ of the cross. Now, if someone were to say they're talking about the Christ, we could say who was on the cross. But he's not on the cross today. I don't even like a figure to have a body on the cross representing Christ today. He's not on the cross today. Ladies and gentlemen, he died. He was buried. And I've got news for you. He rose the third day. I got better news for you, and even that, since he did rise, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us who are saved today. Now, Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. You know this by heart probably. In verse 18, "For as much as ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things." Now, watch the ye. He's not talking to the unsaved. The potential for the unsaved here. But he's talking to the children of God who have trusted Christ as Savior, and he wants them to know, don't you forget, there's nothing that you redeemed of in this world that could redeem you. Everything that you use of the world is corruptible. He used as silver and gold. In other words, there's no way you can buy it. You can't work it out. And at this particular time, as much as you know, you were not redeemed. That means you were not bought with a price that had to do with money, silver and gold. Redeeming set forth by paying a price. You were bought with a price. There's a price to be paid. And that price was, of course, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers. From your conversation sets forth the way of life. Not the way of life that you got from your father. You didn't get what you got because of what your father said in the past and redeemed it by money or silver or gold. We want you to know it cost something that money could not buy. It cost something that silver and gold could not purchase. Then he says in verse 19, to answer that question, he says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb," watch that, folks, "precious blood of Christ, as a lamb," notice, "without blemish and without spot,
Hey, when he comes back, he's not coming back to forerun for Allah. He's coming back King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What I'm telling you this morning, when I see the Christ of the cross, it's important I understand more about the cross than just the cross. In fact, I need to bypass the cross, though that's the means that God brought redemption, and look to the Christ on the cross, because you can have a lot of people die on the crosses, but only he was able to purchase sin. Then he said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. It was predetermined before the foundation of the world that he's going to come. But now he says here this time, 4,000 plus years later from the creation to this time, he says that it's been manifested. So nearly 2,000 years ago, around that, God manifested what he foreordained and promised at the beginning of time. And then he says in verse 21, by him, by who? Not Allah. He's in verse 19, he's talking about Christ. He names him. By him, by Christ, do we believe in God. Did you hear what the scripture says? By Christ do we believe in God. Hey, you say, I believe in God and leave Christ out. No, you don't believe in the God of the Bible. Because if you did, you'd believe what he said. And I don't talk about you. I'm talking about him. We'll listen to this later. If you did, you believe what God says about his son. And he says also that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. It's in Christ that we find our faith and hope in God. And how is it done? Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfinished love of the brethren. See that ye love one another. And he says again, with a pure heart fervently. How's that done? Being born again. Not a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says this, as the writer speaks, and he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll tell you this. Anyone has the power and the prestige and all that you need to sit at the right hand of God, he doesn't need to come back in any form other than who he is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You look with me in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, and you'll find these verses written. It says in verse 9, first, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. In who? That's Jesus Christ. And you're complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Verse 14 tells us, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to, notice, his cross. A lot of we don't understand there. But when he nailed it, he was allowed to be nailed to the cross, the blood that was shed, somehow or another was God's blood in Jesus Christ, and it was pure blood, and therefore it could be accepted for sin. Then my last verse is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, where Paul said, for I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, everything else that Christ did may be good to prove who he is, but the message today is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And ladies and gentlemen, most messages that you hear today by the media don't even talk about Christ being crucified much. It's everything else. You can have in it, name it, claim it, get it, everything. Just listen to the wide variety. But where's the old-fashioned preaching that Jesus Christ and him alone is the only way a man can be saved? And invite people to come to Christ to be born into the family of God. You don't hear much of that today. We're glad, thank God we hear some, but not much. Then you see the last verse, chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, this gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means to tell me that we should be preaching Christ and him crucified for people to be saved, not that he's a grandfather in heaven that you can pray to and get wealth. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, first and foremost, he must be preached as the only way of life to get to know God the Father, because it's not so much what we gain here. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, God tells us. Then we need to find out how to get where he's at, and that's through Jesus Christ. And then he tells us, he says, the gospel not with wisdom of words, lest the gospel of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. You don't preach the cross to get people to think they can get wealthy. You preach the cross to let people know they can be saved. They can be born again. And then thank God for the things that come after us as children of God. He blessed us in this life so that we might be able to survive and live and enjoy the blessings of God. So I want to speak to you just a moment on the Christ of the cross. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, because Jesus Christ has not been preached today like he was when I was a boy. I can tell you, when I was a boy coming up and when I got saved as a young man, Christ, you could turn about anywhere you wanted to on the radio and you hear a message about Christ and the cross. You won't find much of that today. You'll find some, but it's not in depth like it was back in those days. Now, with me just a few minutes, let's look at this cross in your mind. If you can think of anything, a silhouette, shut your mind, or shut your eyes or something. Don't shut your mind, but shut your eyes. So I want you to think with me just a moment as you look at the cross in your mind. Above that cross is the Heavenly Father offering the hand of reconciliation to a lost, hell-bent family of humanity. That's who you see as his son has been hung on the cross for him to extract eternal death from him that we might have, and eternal wrath from him, we might have life. You see God the Father who is over that cross offering this hand of reconciliation to a lost world because he loves them. If you look again beneath that cross, you see a great, confused mass of blundering, sinning, suffering humanity alienated from God by their own choosing. And yet God still loves them and allows his son to die on that cross. When you look at each side of that cross this morning in your mind, on each side of the cross, you have our two people that are unsaved. One gets saved and the other does not. When you look at each side of that cross, you see on the right side, or one side, we say the right for just position, shows the unbelief, one that did not believe and dies without Christ. That massive people underneath see it represented, one dies unbelieving and is without Christ. On the other side, you see one that's left who also is dying, but what happens is before he dies, he has a pardon. He's been reconciled to God. So in heaven, we see God the Father bent over to a sinful world, offering them reconciliation. We see on the earth a mass of confused, blundering people wondering about what's going on there and not understanding this is how God had chosen to pay for sin. You see on each side of Christ, two men who were unsaved. One gets born into the family of God because Jesus himself said to him, after he told him to remember him, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But on the center cross, ladies and gentlemen, you see the quivering, throbbing, bleeding, beaten body of the Son of God as a lamb, Peter said, providing salvation and reconciliation to those who believe on him. That's how you get saved if you ever get saved. That's how you go to heaven if you ever go to heaven. And if you don't go that way, there's only one way, and that's in opposite direction to God, and that takes in hell and the lake of fire. Now, there's 3 points I want to give you on this thought. Number one is this, and I believe this from the depth of my soul, and I've concentrated on this a lot in the last couple of weeks. I believe this. No one has ever seen Jesus Christ until he has seen him as the Christ of the cross. If you don't see that, if humanity doesn't see him as the Christ of the cross, they're not seeing who God wants them to see when it comes to his son. Peter did not emphasize Christ's great personality, and he was the greatest personality that ever lived. Peter did not emphasize his supreme mind. He had the greatest mind that man had ever had. You see that at 12 years old. He confused the wise men in Jerusalem. Peter did not emphasize his magnificent character or his lofty ethics. He didn't emphasize his flawless life. No, sir. Peter emphasized his atoning death on Calvary. How we were redeemed not with corruptible things, but incorruptible by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter emphasized. The people emphasize everything else nowadays but that. Go to Apostle Paul. Paul didn't emphasize Christ on the wayside or the seaside or the synagogue or the marketplace, but he did emphasize Christ of the cross. And he made the statement, I determined not to know anything among you, save or accept Jesus Christ and him crucified. Even Jesus Christ himself did not spend his last brief moments on this earth reviewing his life. He didn't begin to talk about what he had done and not done for 3.5 years on this life, but he did in it preview in his death. He told the disciples he was going to die. They didn't believe it. Even up to the time when he was crucified, they didn't believe it. Christ did not emphasize his Sermon on the Mount. By the way, he could. It was a great sermon. Christ didn't emphasize the miracles he had done, and he could have, and they were true, and they know they were true, but he didn't emphasize those things, though he did many miracles. He didn't emphasize the fact some were blind, could see and walk, lame, and could walk because when they passed his path, or he passed theirs. He previewed his death. He emphasized the sacrifice of himself on Mount Calvary. And even before he left, he told the church he made a way for us to follow him in a way that we might keep communion. He gave us that. Even the Lord's Supper speaks of the cross that till he should come again. So, ladies and gentlemen, when Christ died and rose and then went back to be with the Father in Acts chapter 1, what an amazing thing beyond the cross at the gates of heaven open up while the angels welcome God's thorn-crowned Son who was crucified back to heaven, and he came back as a resurrected, glorified Savior. That's what they saw. When I see that, he has made a way for believers to follow who can be washed white as snow. Though we are guilty and condemned and doomed and damned, in Jesus Christ we can be washed white as snow. What I'm telling you this morning, he's got to be put back where he came. We got to understand, we may have arrived in a lot of places, but we're just as rotten to the core when it comes to sin as a human race. So the first thing, no one has ever seen Christ until he sees him as the Christ of the cross. Number two, what does Christ's cross say to the unreconciled person? What is it saying here? It said in the unreconciled person, the unsaved person, that the atoning work of Christ is finished. God has opened the way for the lowest of sinners to come to the throne of grace and receive cleansing and receive forgiveness of sin. John 1:12, it says, to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To receive Jesus Christ as Savior is to become a son or daughter of God and a brother or sister to another believer, because the blood of Christ makes us blood relatives when it comes to the spiritual family, making up the body of Christ. The invitation still stands. 2 Corinthians 4, for the unreconciled, in verse 5:20, we are ambassadors who have been reconciled, and God says that we are to give the invitation, come be ye reconciled unto God. Be ye reconciled to the lost world, or to the unreconciled person. Jesus said he gave his life for many as a ransom. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the Bible said simply, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life as a ransom for many. One of the best stories I ever heard happened probably between 70 plus years ago. There was a pastor of a church. I don't know exactly where he was at the time, but the story goes he got very sick. He had to go to the hospital in those days. I know he liked the day, but he had to go to the hospital. He stayed a number of days, a week or so, and he got out and decided he was going to have to pay his bill. They didn't have benefits like we have. They didn't have insurance like you have today. They didn't have a lot of money like we have today, but he knew as a child of God, as a pastor leading flocks, he had to go pay his bill. So he went to the hospital, and he told them, he said, look, I can't pay it, but I want to pay it by the month. Can you help me out? And they pulled his bill out, and he had stamp paid in full. And he said, well, I don't understand this. And he said, sir, your church has paid that bill in full for you. He said, well, praise the Lord for that. He went to see the doctors. He knew he was the doctors. He went to the doctor place, or to the office. And he said, sir, can you set up a payment for me? I want to pay you. I know the bill's pretty high because he'd been like a month looking after him. And they pulled his bill out and he had stamp again, paid in full. And he said, I don't understand this. The church paid the hospital bill, but what about this bill? He said, no. He said, the church did not pay this. The ushers and the deacons got together and paid this bill for you. He said, well, praise be unto the Lamb of God. And he left with tears in his eyes.
And he said, well, I got to go down to the pharmacy and see what I can do there because I know there's some medicine and all this together. He went down and said, sir, I want to ask you, I want to pay the bill, and I can't pay it all one time. Could you help me set up a monthly payment? He pulled his bill out, and it was stamped to the bottom, again, paid in full. And he said, but I can't believe this because the bill was paid by the church, and the deacons and the ushers paid the doctor off, and now all the medicine I got paid in full. Who in the world did that? And he said, we don't know, except we heard that a few church members got together and paid the bill in full. And he said, every bill that I had been paid. And he said, I got and started back after how he was traveling, and he cried out, oh, what manner of love their church has for me. And then God reminded him of the verse of Scripture when John said, oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us. And he got to thinking about, praise be unto the Lamb. And I read the story, and I got to crying because I got to thinking, by the way, you can't, if you really understand what God did for you, you realize he's paid the sin debt in full. Nothing have I that I could give to him, except to the cross that I couldn't cling. And he said, oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon me. And he began to sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's who I'm talking about, folks. I got that a little high, but thank God I got it out. Amen. Jesus paid it all. You can't do anything with the incorruptible things and try to purchase it. Our righteousness, God says, is like filthy rags in his sight. What does Christ's cross say to the unreconciled? Come, trust, believe. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is reaching out to this ungodly, confused world and trying to get individuals to see they can still have this life if they'll believe the record that God has of his son. But what about the cross to us who have been reconciled? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 shows us that we didn't get this by the corrupt things of this world. Isn't it an amazing thing? The most thing we look to get, silver and gold. I can't hardly believe it. I heard this week, I believe it was, that gold was over $1,500 an ounce. Wouldn't you like to catch fish like the apostles did, had a gold piece in his mouth, and go pay your taxes? I'd go try to sell it for $1,500 an ounce, wouldn't you? I believe I could pay my taxes if I had about 100 ounces. Amen. But can you imagine when you think about what this cost God, him, his son? We're not redeemed by Christ's great life, though he was the greatest life that ever lived, and it proved to us he was who he said he was. We're not redeemed because of his lofty teaching, though he's the greatest teacher. And if he hadn't taught some things and we could understand, we wouldn't understand what he's done for us. But we are redeemed by the precious blood and the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 tells that we have been washed from all of our sins. And of course, in chapter 1 John 5, and down about verse 13, John made this statement when he said in verse 13. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God had committed to us. We know what his message is to the unreconciled. Believe. Be ye reconciled unto God. Let the Spirit of God do its job when you hear the gospel message. Then what about us who have been saved? God has committed us to the work of reconciliation. That is, we're ambassadors of Christ, and we're to be the voice that God would, Holy Spirit could use to invite people to the Lamb of God. Again, we see that in 1 Corinthians, down about verse 5, and 2 Corinthians 5, and verse 17, 18, 19, talks about that, therefore, a man being Christ is a new creature. And we're verse 19, with that, Christ, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, putting their trespasses unto them, and had not committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Because of that, now we are ambassadors, he said, verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5,
as ambassadors for Christ. As though God had beseeched you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Why? For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. That's what the message is that God says to give out. You move over to Daniel chapter 12 and go down about verse 3, and you find 590 plus years before Jesus came, here's what God said that those who are redeemed would be doing. He said, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. Isn't it amazing 950 years or 590 years before Jesus Christ ever came? God used through Daniel, and he said, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And then he says, and understand the and conjunction, put these two together, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe God blesses. I'm a product of my wife of 43 years in this church and 51 years serving God, and he blessed us. There's years we had some hard times, but he has so blessed us in these days. And I thank God for that. And I could tell you, and look at history of life, what we went through and the times God tried us, and we went through those things. And I assure you, if you're going through a trial, he will bless you if you won't waver. If you don't waver, he'll bless you. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the message. The message, first and foremost, you need him as your Savior. And then secondly, we who have been saved are to be ambassadors to get the message out, crying to the world, be ye reconciled. And when we do that and use the ability God's given us, you'll see the blessings come and every need will be met when it needs to be met. I assure you that. You may have to wait like we did 40 years sometime to get some of the needs met. You may, or at least get the place where we were blessed at a place that's some things we prayed for years ago, we hadn't prayed for in years because God has blessed us with it. I'm talking to you about what we are as believers. We have been reconciled to God Almighty. Now, the cross of Christ then tells the unreconciled, hear me now, the cross of Christ tells the unreconciled to come to him and be reconciled to God. But the reconciled, it says to us, go and tell others this wonderful, important message. 2 Corinthians 5:20 again, we are ambassadors for Christ, therefore be reconciled to God. That's the message. Now, for the unreconciled people, there is nothing as urgent as to heed God's invitation. There is nothing for the unsaved person as important than to heed when Jesus said, come unto me. When Jesus said, you must be born again. When Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. To the unsaved, there is nothing as important as the invitation to Christ. For those who are reconciled, who are saved, there's nothing as urgent as is to convey the invitation to others. Why? Why is it so important after we're saved to get this wonderful message to others? By the way, this is a message this world don't want to hear. This world would accept probably Jesus Christ in a fashion that you put him forth other than who he is. Not a whole lot said about the baby in the manger, though in these days people do try to destroy that story. Not a whole lot said about the good things he did, though there are those who would make him out of a lie at times and say they really didn't happen. We've got a lot of books been written about that nowadays. But that didn't change the fact. He is who he said he was. He is who God said he was. But why should we tell the story? The reason for that is this. Please hear this. Back a few months ago, we went down to radio to Newport. In Grace Baptist Church, they got a sign up there on the side where everybody sees it's there 24 hours a day. Every 15 minutes, that sign comes on. Whether you're in church, if you were sitting here there today, it doesn't make no. Every 15 minutes, that sign comes on. It lights up. And it's got written on the outside, there's 1,600 people die every 15 minutes. That means 1,600
people die, either went to heaven or hell, and the odds are the population of this earth, most of them went to hell. You say, preacher, you're judging. No, I'm not. I'm not judging. I'm not the judge. I just believe this book. Without Jesus Christ, there is no eternal life. Amen. I just believe that. Now, I can be classified as a fool, fine. I go to heaven as a fool then, amen? I'd rather go to heaven as a fool than go to heaven as a wise person and end up in hell. I mean, go to hell as a wise person by ending up in hell. The Bible teaches us the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But it is the means of eternal life. So I got to thinking, 1,600 people die every 15 minutes. That means, if my calculator worked right, that's 6,400 people that die every hour. That means simply that in 24 hours, 153,600 people die every day. And they're headed towards a destiny. You think God didn't see that when he hovered over his son and saw the massive wicked people lashing out at his son, treating him like a criminal, beat him to a pulp, whipped him on his back, mocked him? You think God didn't see that? Yes, he did. But he loved that and those human beings like he loved us. Thank God we're saved. Most in here may be saved. But there'll be a lot listening to the radio in a few minutes, and also upstream probably, that may not be saved. But I'm telling you, that is an urgency, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't care what the religions of this world says, and they can say I'm wrong and they're right. Fine. But I don't care what they say. This book tells me there's no other way to get to God or where he's at except through Jesus Christ. And I'll stand there. Suppose you're wrong, preacher. Well, if I'm wrong, I'll just go where people go that are wrong. But I'll tell you this, I will have died believing what God said about his son. I will have died believing what Jesus said about himself. And you don't find too many people nowadays who are willing to do that. I haven't been in this book 51 years for nothing, and I'm just as sure today. But there's so many other things written. There's so many people disagree. That's exactly right. But God said, let God be true and ever man a liar. So I see now what this is telling me, that Jesus Christ of the cross is the only hope. May I say that again? Jesus Christ of the cross is the only hope. And at Christ's cross, we see just how valuable. And I thought about this early this morning, visualizing God over that cross and the massive wicked people beneath that cross, and see what God saw, and saw that in spite of what he did at Calvary with his son, in spite of what Jesus did, most people will walk away from him. Broader is the way that leads to destruction than that which leads to life, because narrow is the way that leads to life. Can you imagine how the heart of God must have been broken when he saw what his son did? He was willing to die, and God extracted eternal wrath from him, and yet he saw most of humanity rejecting the only hope they had. He is our hope. He is our hope. In Christ's cross, we see just how valuable we are to God as an image of God. You say, well, preacher, if man is that valuable, surely God would have compassion on those who don't see who Jesus Christ is. I say to you, though, to reject God's offer of his son reaps awful consequences. Reach awful consequences. There is a hell, and there is a lake of fire, and there is a heaven. How do I know that? The same God who tells us about heaven that everybody wants to go to is the same God that tells us about hell and the lake of fire. He says more about hell than he does about heaven mainly, and on a few places about the lake of fire, but they're just as real as heaven. And he tells us how we don't have to go there. And I'm glad. Somebody said, well, you're just a doom preacher. That's all it is. But I want to tell you this. When I preach about these places, folks, listen to me. God has also told me and told you as his ambassador to tell others, you don't have to go there. I had a chance to make a choice 51 years ago. You got a chance to make a choice. Some of you made choices before. But those who hear my voice today have a chance to make a choice. today. Why? Grace is still open. Christ has not come back. And Paul said to the church at Corinth, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. While we have time, we can make a choice. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for the day. Lord, I have done my best to exalt Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I pray that I've yielded to you in a way that you could do more after this service than what has been done during the service. Please bless the message as it goes on the radio in just a few minutes. Please bless the upstream that people are looking at right now, and their Father will be seeing this in video in the near future. Holy Spirit of God, I do pray somehow or another you'll be able to take this message, preach it one time here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and do what only God can do with it to exalt Jesus Christ. We remind the world, whatever they may think about him, God has said one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I believe that. And I'm so glad I'm not ashamed, September 27, 1959, to bow my heart and soul to you and submit to you and ask you to do something for me I couldn't do for myself. Little did I know where that would lead to, but I thank you. I'm so glad that I caught enough vision of that as a young man to dedicate our life and my wife dedicate our lives to the Lord to serve you. We didn't know we'd be here at the time. I'm so glad, Lord, in all the hardships we've had, you blessed in so many ways that now the blessings override what we think about in the past. Lord, these people in this church wouldn't even begin to know what we went through in those early years. They'd think it was, they'd think somehow or another we were just exaggerating. So we don't say a whole lot. But I can say, we can say the days we prayed earlier this morning, Lord, thank you for the blessings you've sent our way. Thank you for taking care of us, even when sometimes it didn't look like we make ends meet. But you give us wisdom. Help someone to see serving God. There's somebody you may be touching heart right now to serve God on a full-time basis. And there's a little fear because of the way things are in the economy. Dear Father, we are not naive enough to believe that they won't be facing things in this life. This is not our home, Brother Keith said this morning. This is not our home. We're just passing through here. And Father, we don't get tied down here, so we want to leave, don't want to leave. We thank you, though, while we're here, you supply every need and bless us beyond what we're worthy. And we thank you for that. Now help us in these latter days not to let up on preaching about Christ. Please guard this church and those churches today across this country who will preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, that this world can hear it. Lord, the only revival we'll have in this world again, first of all, when God's people understand where they're at, and as the scripture cries out, repent, and find a place before God to be that vessel that God could use to preach reconciliation to a lost world. Not just from a pulpit on one-to-one basis. And then, Father, realize when that's done, God's message has been get and used where he wants it to go. And he said, my word will not return unto me void. Holy Spirit, help us magnify and lift up Christ. Yes, Wednesday night and Sunday night, we do our best to teach the word of God for us as Christians. Lord, this morning, and may we never forget what Jesus did and try our best in our humble way to present him as the Son of God, the Lamb of God, King of kings, Lord of lords, who sat in the right hand of right now make an intercession for this poor, stammering preacher. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray.